This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good evening, I'm Paul McClure. Welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by David Gale. On tonight's Informer, we'll be chatting with Tina Healy about her recent experience with a transphobic Domino's driver. Then we'll speak to Joel Murray from Living Positive Victoria about World AIDS Day, which is coming up on the 1st of December.
A transgender woman has slammed Domino's on social media after a delivery driver for the pizza chain allegedly called her sir. Domino's delivery guy deliberately misgendered Tina as a transgender, as a gentleman, and Tina Healy tweeted that, Domino's wasn't responding. Tonight on The Informer, we have Tina Healy in the studio. Tina, what can you tell us about the actual incident? This was about a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about a week ago, and I got home late. I work lots of late shifts, and I got home and decided to dial a Domino's pizza.
Sounds pretty normal. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I don't normally do takeaway food much, but it was just
when you get home late,
So, anyway, so the guy arrived and I was standing outside my flat. The light was on. I'm presenting as clearly as female. And when he arrived, he sort of stopped and looked at me, sort of looked up and down, and he said, did you order a pizza, sir? And I mean, I just looked at him and I said, well, my name's actually on the docket and it clearly says Tina. Mm-hmm. And so he reached in, grabbed the pizza and gave it to me and said, here's your pizza, sir. I mean, and often you think, you know, I'll just let it go. But I mean, it happens so often, you know, like it's such an incidental thing, but it happens, I reckon, a couple of times a week. And often for the person, it's intentional. I mean, they look at you, you're presenting female, unmistakably female.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll ask for your credit card and they'll say, thank you, sir. And then they'll give you a receipt and they'll say, here's your receipt, sir.
Yeah.
And I think it just gets to that point sometimes and you go, well, look, there's an issue of principle here. So I actually put in a feedback on the Domino's website that night expressing what had happened and my displeasure. And I got no feedback on the night. And again, I could have left it there. A lot of people would say, look, this is trivial. Why would you pursue it? But transgender people live with this kind of incremental discrimination all the time. And sometimes you think, no, it's a principle here.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't let it slide.
No, that's right. And a lot of the feedback was, oh, come on, you know, it's he's just a young guy. It's only a trivial thing. And it's like, yeah, on its own maybe. But this is a consistent thing that we live with, you know. So I actually thought, well, I haven't got a response from Domino's. So I thought, well, look, I'll pop it onto Twitter and see what the reaction is there.
And what was the reaction?
We got an email came in from Domino's to say that they couldn't find the message from the night before, which is quite possible. Also got a phone call from the franchisee involved.
From the actual store ordered the pizza to be delivered from.
Yeah, that's right. And they apologised. And said that they'd talk to their drivers about it, you know.
Yeah.
And again, I could have left it there, but I thought, look, it's actually a systemic issue. And while I appreciated the actions of the individual store, I went back on to Twitter and said, look, I really need to talk to Domino's national management, and I really want some sort of indication that they're going to retrain their staff and drivers to have a sense of how to handle transgender and gender-diverse customers.
Yeah,
so
because
this thing doesn't happen, you know.
Well, yeah, somebody else might have just let it slide. Somebody else might have just gone, okay, well, you know, this is what's happening and, you know, I can't expect everything. But at the same time, unless you're sort of going up that chain and saying, well, this is the sort of world that we live in 2016, it might seem like only a small issue to you, but it does... It's quite a big issue to people that it's affected by.
And I think, too, that the trans and gender diverse community are far more present and we're far more out and proud.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting to that point where in society we're saying, yeah, no, we've lived with a lot of this for a long time.
We've hidden for a long time and we've accepted this for a long time. It's time that we start making a change.
I think so. And, yeah. You know, you can just do it in your, just do it off your own bat in your own way on each incident and follow it through. So
it's sort of like, I mean, you're amongst friends here, of course, because we've gone through that over the years as well. And it's sort of not quite as pronounced now. But, you know, it is discrimination and it's something that we shouldn't really put up with. Has there been an update since? Because I think, you know, initial reports were saying that you weren't getting very much response from Domino's. And, you know, there were people saying, well, you know, we should be black banning that particular pizza chain.
Look, I must say I'm actually very impressed with the eventual response from Domino's. Domino's national management contacted me. They said, look, we're really sorry. We're actually really appalled at what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually indicated, they've written to me since and indicated that they're open to myself or representative of Gender Diversity Australia talking with the human resources people and seeing if there's some way we can actually feed in what's necessary into their training program so we can get a change. So, yeah, I think they've been really good.
Yeah, so they don't want the bad publicity to stick, or do you think they actually really are genuine about this?
Judging by the person I spoke to, I thought he was really genuine.
And to be honest, though, I don't think it matters. I think as long as you get the message out there and you get that education happening amongst drivers and raise awareness, I don't know if it really matters. Why, you know, the basis for why they're doing it, I think it's still important.
I think it's also important, though, too, for the trans community to have an awareness that they can stand up for themselves and that companies and organisations are very responsive to social media.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How long did it take for them to respond after you initially wrote to the store and then you said you went to Twitter? How long did it take after you tweeted for them to respond to you directly?
I mean, I messaged on the night and most of the responses happened over the next 24 hours.
Did you get any negative responses from anybody, especially on Twitter? I know that it's renowned for trolls. Did you have any negative comments left?
Yeah, it took me by surprise a bit. I guess maybe I've been living my life in a pumpkin patch somewhere. But the amount of vitriol and hate that came across on Twitter was a learning experience. But also, I mean, people were trolling into my Facebook page. So I had to change the status on my Facebook page. They were trolling into Messenger. They were getting into some of my friends' pages.
I noticed that it was a little bit hard to actually contact you because I tried to contact you via Facebook and obviously you're on guard at the moment because of that sort of thing happening. And that's sort of, it's not really acceptable these days. We hear about it, but we were talking about it yesterday. The Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, of course, there was a case where she was attacked by anti-vaxxers. Now, strangely enough, somebody said to me one day, they said, oh, you know, that story that you did with Jill Hennessy about her being trolled by anti-vaxxers, that was actually a put up by people in her own department, but that's actually what the anti-vaxxers have actually been putting out to change people's opinion. And these trolls are sort of, you've got to stand up to them. You've actually got to talk about them and call them out as well. It's no different to the delivery driver, except perhaps even more pervasive because it attacks your social media as well.
The other thing is too that they changed the truth. So by the end of the story, it was a young kid that lost his job because a guy in a dress didn't have a sense of humour. And really, actually, he drove there. He was an adult, and it was intentional, and it was repeated after I clarified it for him. I hope he hasn't lost his job. But so they have this way of twisting the truth, and I think they create their own momentum, and whatever was the original facts are completely lost.
Mm.
I must say one of the inspirational things was watching how the young trans and gender diverse people were in there batting for me on Twitter.
Around.
Yeah,
that's great.
It was like, wow, get down, you know, it was really cool. Yeah.
All right. Look, it's great having you here tonight. Tina, you have been on a couple of other programs on Joy, but I really wanted to get the message out there that there has been an update, that people are starting to take notice of complaints like this, and it's great to have you here tonight on The Informer.
Thanks very much. It's been wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Coming Coming up now on The Informer, we have Joel Murray, who is the Senior Officer of Policy and Research at the Living Positive Victoria. Of course, World AIDS Day is on Thursday, which is the 1st of December. It's always on every year. And it's great to have you on the line, Joel.
Hi, how you doing?
Look, it's great to have you here on The Informer. Tell us, what is the local theme this year for World AIDS Day?
We've got a few themes running. It's about HIV is still here, and it's on the move. That's the sort of national theme that we're pushing for World AIDS Day. And then we've got a bit of a local theme, which is then and now, no one left behind.
Okay, so on that first theme, is that to address the fact that infection rates have continued to plateau?
It is. And, you know, it's also about the people that aren't getting the health promotion messages. Mm. And so, you know, we've been for gay and bisexual men, you know, we're really lucky. We've got some excellent resources. We've got health promotion. We've got, you know, the Victorian AIDS Council doing an excellent job. And, you know, we're getting more informed about other HIV prevention strategies like PrEP. But there are some other populations that are at risk, heterosexual men and women in particular, who aren't getting the health promotion messages. They may not even know anything about PrEP. And so while we've got HIV kind of stabilised within gay and bisexual men, it's slowly on the, you know, on the increase in other populations.
And one of those populations, I understand, is trans men who have sex with men. And there's a campaign that you're working on or have worked on called the Grunt Campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I worked on directly. It's a partnership between a FAO and a group called PASH-TM, which is... There are a group of trans men who decided that they needed health promotion messages for them and their community, and so the Grunt campaign is really all about the inclusion of trans men and sex positive messaging that features trans men, you know, in the artwork, people from the community, and so it really it's a great resource that resonates to that community.
Yeah, that sounds like a great campaign, and it was something that we've actually heard about just recently because it wasn't being addressed. Also, there's talk about HIV women who are very usually excluded from, you know, women living with HIV are forgotten about in all sorts of things, all sorts of reportings.
Yes, they are. Women are often... you know, in women, if they go to the doctor and they are not feeling well, and usually the last test that is conducted is a HIV test. You know, I know I've worked with a number of other women doing through the Positive Speakers Bureau, and I've heard their stories. And, you know, what I hear over and over again is, you know, a series of tests where the doctor just can't work out what's going on, and then eventually they do the HIV test, and that, you know, and they've got... you know, a longer, later diagnosis. Hmm. And the diagnosis in men, heterosexual men and women is now more than 4 years. So a late diagnosis is more, they've been living with the infection for more than 4 years. And, of course, the longer you live with the infection, the more, you know, the more it can attack the body without medication, you know, if you're not treating it.
Yeah, we hear the message quite often about getting a diagnosis and getting treatment started as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot's changed over the last, you know, I'm living with HIV. I've been living with HIV since 2010, and just in those 6 years, things have come a long way. And when I first was diagnosed, the science wasn't in. We didn't know what the effect of HIV on the body was. But now we say, you know, we say treat early, and we've Living Positive Victoria, and in partnership with the Victorian AIDS Council, we did a whole treatment campaign around treating early, and that again featured men from, you know, HIV positive men from our community. And I think, you know, that kind of peer-led model is the way to go. I think that, you know, if we're going to be trying to look at those people who aren't getting the health promotion messages, then we need to take what we've learned from the gay community and, you know, adapt that and
apply it to a wider community. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
You also are looking to address people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. Because that's another thing that, of course, living in Australia, we have such a diverse community across the board, whether it's gay, straight, or any other, you know, in between. So that's something...
Well, and, you know, there are a number of different reasons why people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds may not have that sexual education, that sexual health education. Some of it can relate to cultural, their language background, or also, you know, religious practices, or the influences of it from their parents as well. All these kind of attitudes can, you know, shape a person's ability to seek out that information. And, you know, so it's all, I think the thing is always working in partnership, and it's about working in partnership with the Centre for Ethnicity and Health. Mm. And it's also about working with community leaders in those populations at risk. So with faith leaders, you know, with elders of their communities, and using those existing structures to get health promotion messages that are also culturally sensitive. So... you know, our Western words may not always be applicable, so it's how do we work with a community to make it applicable to them.
Joel, if we just move forward to this Thursday, which is World AIDS Day, what's actually happening on the day? There's an official community launch?
Yeah, we've got the official community launch at 9 a.m. at the Burnet Institute, and that's going to be the Victorian launch of World AIDS Day, and we've got the State Health Minister, the Honourable Jill Hennessy. She's going to launch the day.
And I noticed that also Associate Professor Edwina Wright will be there as well. She's fantastic to listen to as well. Members of the Positive Speakers Bureau, who are they?
I'm not actually aware of who's doing the keynote this year. I wasn't told about that. But,
that's okay.
You know, we've got a history of putting usually up two speakers who tell really compelling stories about their experience of living with HIV.
Certainly a good reason to go along. At 11 o'clock, there's a community forum that's called HIV Then and Now, No One Left Behind, once again following that theme. What can you tell us about that?
We've got a wide panel of presenters. So I'm going to be on the panel along with one of my colleagues from Positive Women Victoria, and then we've also got Jeremy Wiggins, who runs some of the health programs at the Victorian AIDS Council, and it's going to be moderated by Rowena Allen, the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner. So I think, you know, we're really going to be examining, you know, where HIV was and where AIDS was and where we are now, and then what do we have to do in the future if we're going to achieve the goal of virtually eliminating, you know, new infections.
Okay, well, that sounds great. At 6 p.m. on Thursday as well, what happens then? There's Remember World AIDS Day Memorial.
Yeah.
What happens at that particular memorial?
Yeah, it's a reflective commemorative service, you know, and so it's a much, you know, we have earlier in the year, we have the candlelight vigil, and that's a sort of public expression of, you know, those we've lost. But this one, I think it's more community, it's more personal, it's a lot more intimate. And, you know, people who've been affected by people, you know, or known people or their lovers who have sadly passed away from AIDS or HIV-related illnesses.
Right. Whereabouts is that being held at?
And so the memorial is at the Positive Living Centre, which is on Commercial Road, the old Braille Library.
Okay, so those people that are working on that day that can't go to the other events certainly go along to that. And that sounds really good to be involved in. There'll be ribbons on sale all around town, I expect?
Sorry, I didn't catch that question.
There'd be ribbons available all around town where volunteers will be selling those?
There will be ribbons. That's organised by the Victorian AIDS Council, and that money goes into their David Williams Fund, which is helps people living with HIV, you know, who might be struggling with accommodation or food or, you know, those little things that sometimes can mean, you know, a little thing can go a long way in the lives of people living with HIV. So it's a very worthy cause.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, all the support services are amazing, and it's great to have. You know, I suppose, you know, a lot of this is also making people aware, certainly that are HIV positive, that they're not alone. That's important, isn't it?
I think that is, yeah. And that's my attitude, is that, you know, living with HIV, you're connected to every other person living with HIV through the virus. And that's because the virus doesn't discriminate. So, you know, I think, you know, as things get improved for the lives of, you know, gay and bisexual men living with HIV, I think we have to remember that there are, you know, other people in Australia and Victoria who are living with HIV who are doing it a lot tougher than us. And so, you know, I think we have a responsibility to make sure they don't get left behind.
Yeah. Look, as you know, I mean, you work with Living Positive Victoria, of course, but what does a day like this specifically mean to you?
For me, you know, I mean, I sort of wasn't directly aware of the HIV epidemic when I was growing up. You know, I was at school in the 1990s, and so the little bit we heard was sort of rumours from the media, because our parents and teachers didn't talk to me, and, you know, and so we would say, you know, I remember we had a schoolyard conversation about Magic Johnson has AIDS, and mm-hmm. You know, we were sort of stigmatizing him in a way, but we didn't really know what we were doing. And I mean, it's those kinds of moments where, you know, it makes me reflect and think about how far we actually have come with HIV. I mean, we back then in the 90s, people were sadly, you know, dying, but you know, today we've got improvements and advances in medicine, which means we can live a long time. But what I was saying to my colleague today was, you know, the sort of the difference between HIV and AIDS for me is the fact that I take my two pills a day, and you know, I'm able to do that and adhere to my medicine because I've got a great support network around me. So I think, you know, what we have to take into the future is to make sure that the people in our community who start to age with HIV remain socially connected, and that we as a community somehow make sure that they, you know, don't go into isolation, because we know from research that, you know, the people who aren't socially connected face poorer health outcomes. And, yeah, so I think that's the take-home message.
Okay, look, it sounds like, you know, it becomes a day of strength, and also a day of being positive about being positive, I suppose, which isn't meant to make it sound flip or glib or anything. But so rather than being, I mean, you know, there are people that we can certainly remember, but it also becomes a day of strength, I think, and solidarity.
Solidarity. Which, and visibility.
And visibility as well.
Definitely visibility. You know, well, you know, it's the one day of the year where all the media will report about World AIDS Day, and, you know, I think lifting that visibility up beyond our own communities and across the whole, you know, whole population is really important.
All right. Certainly, we'll put a link on our podcast for people that want to support World AIDS Day, and we'll make sure that, like, if I'm in the city streets, please, you know, make sure that you do buy a ribbon so that it does support the foundation, the David Williams Foundation. It's certainly a great cause. And thanks very much for talking with us tonight, Joel Murray.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
On The Informer, we'd like to thank our guests tonight, of course, Tina Healy, who's here tonight to talk about the incident that she had with Domino's Pizza. Joel Murray, of course, talking about, he's the Senior Officer Policy and Research from Living Positive Victoria, talking about World AIDS Day and what will be happening this Thursday, so please remember about that. Also, coming up next is Worldwide Wave. Mm-hmm. They are going to be travelling around the world tonight, and they will also be focused on World AIDS Day and the different messages internationally.
How people celebrate it around the world.
Yeah, and the differences, which will be great to hear as well. Tonight's program has been produced by myself with the assistance of Paul McClure. And it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.